Last night, President Obama took on Republican Mitt Romney in the first U.S. presidential debate in Denver, Colorado. Romney was deemed to have won the duel, with the CNN poll giving him a strong lead. More than two-thirds of registered voters said that Mr. Romney had performed better than the Democratic Party nominee, President Barack Obama. Commentators believe the next opinion polls could turn the tide for Romney. Well, joining me in studio, Graham Finlay, lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD, and Gary Murphy, professor of politics at DCU. Gary, good morning.
Hi, Pat.
First of all, as a television spectacle, what did you make of it?
Well, it was as dull as most TV debates have been in American politics over the last 3 to 4 presidential elections.
So, dull or duller?
Dull. Nothing, like, there was no killer lines. As a TV spectacle, I think it would have put a lot of partisans off, certainly. For neutrals, clearly, as your introduction said, Mitt Romney won, and he won big. In fact, my admiration for him as a politician has gone through the roof, because he's done the very nifty trick of, you know, playing to the right during the primary campaigns and coming back to the centre in the last couple of weeks. He basically debated last night like I think the Republican he is, which is a kind of Rockefeller Republican of the 1950s, a centrist person who would reach out to the Democrats. He said this last night. You know, he won't raise taxes. He won't cut the budget for education. He'll increase military spending. He'll somehow balance the budget. He put President Obama completely on the back foot. And the president looked, in my view, somewhat unprepared. Certainly, he didn't bring his A game to the table. And there was a significant victory for Mr. Romney. It's very hard
to criticise someone who now appears to agree with what you've been doing. You know, well, it's much easier to criticise someone who's your polar opposite. Graham, your view?
I think it was even duller than most presidential debates. But again, masterful play by Romney. Obama seemed extremely surprised to find out how much of his legislation Mitt Romney would keep. He genuinely seemed shocked. He was ready for a Romney who was going to repeal everything in sight, and he got the Massachusetts governor of the past. And Romney's successful rebranding as a moderate certainly did him very well in the debate. Whether the base will lose its even more enthusiasm for him is another good question.
The question is he now doing what he accused Obama of doing, you know, having a 47%? Is he assuming that the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party is going to vote for him come hell or high water, and therefore the only thing to play for is the moderate middle?
That's it. The Tea Party has nowhere to go, but they can stay at home. And so again, the election's not over by any means. And in fact, he still has huge obstacles to overcome in the Electoral College in terms of the fact that a lot of people have already made up their minds. Now, maybe they'll change that after last night's debate to win the whole election. But yes, I mean, he's got his base doesn't have anywhere else to go. So he can make a moderate move now.
Now, you were saying to me during the break there, and I'm sure Gary would agree with it, that you guys watch this so that we don't have to.
That's right. Americans, even Americans who have these healthcare plans, who have to bank at these banks, which were the subject of long debates about the minute details of the Dodd-Frank financial services reform, you know, they don't understand these details, and they probably really don't totally care. Whereas a foreign audience, which wants to know who's going to be running the world in a few months' time, really would find it heavy going.
Okay, let's have a listen to just some of the contributions. This which we'll call Trickle Down, has Mitt Romney in action.
Now, I'm concerned that the path that we're on has just been unsuccessful. The president has a view very similar to the view he had when he ran 4 years ago, that a bigger government, spending more, taxing more, regulating more, if you will, trickle-down government would work. That's not the right answer for America.
Do you believe there's a fundamental difference between the two of you as to how you view the mission of the federal government?
And what we're seeing right now is, in my view, a trickle-down government approach, which has government thinking it can do a better job than free people pursuing their dreams, and it's not working.
Look, the genius of America is the free enterprise system and freedom, and the fact that people can go out there and start a business, work on an idea, make their own decisions. But as Abraham Lincoln understood, there are also some things we do better together.
And what we're seeing right now is, in my view, a trickle-down government approach, which has government thinking it can do a better job than free people pursuing their dreams. And it's not working.
That's using a word very cleverly. He decided that trickle-down was a pejorative that he could use, so he used it again and again. I'm not sure many people outside the economic community, Gary, understand what trickle-down actually means, but he used it almost like calling someone a paedophile.
Cleverly, because trickle-down economics, of course, was the economics of neoliberalism of the 1980s, of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. And trickle-down had become a pejorative term for liberals, clearly, in the fact, and we saw Barack Obama last night trying to go back to basically accusing Romney of following the failed policies of George Bush, the policies that got the United States into the catastrophic economic condition it was in when Obama took over. But what he didn't do, or what the president didn't do, was push home on this. His response to that question about the philosophy of government, his response to, in many ways, the shocking statistics, I think might have been even made up, that how much Obamacare would cost the average citizen was really very very mediocre. And Graham is right, debates they're dull and they're boring, and there's a lot of interminable detail, but it's the macro story that comes out, and the macro story here clearly is that President Obama came sort of unprepared, clearly unprepared for Romney's move to the centre, and didn't do a very good job of basically. What he didn't do was he didn't say Romney was a Republican in the style of the Tea Party Republicans who had been obstructing his legislative achievement or his legislative agenda over the past 4 years. So what he didn't say was, if you put this guy in, you're going to get a much worse scenario than you have already.
Graham, do you think he was unprepared? Was he complacent?
His strategy worked. He's following the same strategy he followed in the debates with John McCain when he was a contender for the president. He was ahead in the polls. He just wanted to play it safe, not make any gaffes, no hostages to fortune. That would work for John McCain because you can't have that kind of detail-driven debate with John McCain or George Bush. But it didn't work for Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney came, he had been very well prepared. Now, President Obama's got a lot of other stuff going on. There's the situation in Syria. There's the actual running of the country, which is going to be a bit of a distraction. But he did seem ill prepared, and his team certainly, and this is unforgivable, didn't expect Mitt Romney to move so hard to the center so fast.
Now, one of the things that Obama has always done very well is to use that connection with ordinary people, and he has that card to play over Romney, who is a scion of a wealthy family. I was embarrassed when I heard the Obama 20th anniversary exchange. I mean, that's just too folksy and cutesy for me. But he tried it again on this one about health care for seniors.
The problem is that because the voucher wouldn't necessarily keep up with health care inflation, it was estimated that this would cost the average senior about $6,000 a year. Now, in fairness, what Governor Romney has now said is he'll maintain traditional Medicare alongside it. But there's still a problem, because what happens is those insurance companies are pretty clever at figuring out who are the younger and healthier seniors. They recruit them, leaving the older, sicker seniors in Medicare. And every healthcare economist who looks at it says over time what will happen is the traditional Medicare system will collapse. And then what you've got is folks like my grandmother at the mercy of the private insurance system, precisely at the time when they are most in need of decent health care.
Now, that's a telling point, but did it do him any good, Graham?
It will really require us to look at some of the micro polls. And in fact, we can look at the polls in one state alone, and that's Florida. Mm-hmm. This is all about Florida. There are a lot of seniors in Florida, and Florida is completely decisive. If Mitt Romney loses that, he's not going to win the White House. So currently, Paul Ryan's Medicare plan and its association with Mitt Romney has tested very badly with seniors there and everywhere else. AARP, as Obama mentioned in the debates, has endorsed his plan has endorsed him and is very cool towards Romney. But Romney got away with saying that President Obama would cut $760 billion for Medicare over and over again in the debate, and Obama didn't challenge him on that once.
Gary?
Yeah, and he also got away with the statement that the private sector basically runs healthcare better than the public sector, which was basically a challenge to the whole philosophy of Medicare and Medicaid, and it really seemed ill-prepared for the philosophy of the free market versus regulation. And Mitt Romney, fantastic line later on in the debate of saying that he actually agreed with regulation, that you couldn't run business without regulation, which again is in many ways anathema to the sort of the far right of his party. But it really was a tremendous performance from him. And also to go back to your point about the folksiness of it, right from the off, Romney said how he met a small businessman who only had 5 employees in St. Louis, and then he mentioned how his wife had also met somebody in a similar position. And I think he came across as much more human, much more down to earth, and much more that person who would care for the ordinary American than he has during the Republican primaries.
Now, of course, there were targets that President Obama could have hit: the famous 47%, the outsourcing of jobs to China, the closing down of American companies, his own record in terms of saving the auto industry, and so on. Why did they not become killer blows for Obama last night?
He simply just seemed unwilling to seem unpresidential by wading in the kind of aggressive red meat politics, which we saw from Bill Clinton at the Democratic Convention and so forth. He seems content to let his proxies do that, and he feels the need to be presidential above all else. But again, it comes across as if he doesn't believe in his own program. And so he could have said that Bain Capital and Romney had shipped jobs to China. It's not obviously true, and so his scruples may have really gotten in his way.
And if the polls narrow, which there's no guarantee they will over the course of the next week, I think you'd have to see a different President Obama during the next two debates. The second debate is more of a town hall type of debate, where there'll be interaction with the audience. That's basically on October the 16th in New York, and the audiences consist of undecided voters selected by Gallup, and that'll be interesting. It might suit the president more, but he certainly will need to up his game, because if he performs like this in the next two debates, independents might drift away from him.
What's the topic? What's the agenda for the next debate?
Well, the next debate, we have the vice presidential debate between Ryan and Biden next Thursday, and as I pointed out, I think on the program on Tuesday, I think that'll be in many ways an irrelevance. This is a top ticket election between Obama and Romney. Then on the 16th, we basically have a discussion on foreign and domestic issues in this town hall format. And on October 22nd, down in Florida, we have a debate on foreign policy, which in many ways mightn't be very important at all. I would think the second debate, the one on October the 16th, is crucial for the narrative of Obama to make a comeback. Otherwise, as I said, these independents might drift. They might think that Romney will run as a centrist, that he'll be able to operate as he did in Massachusetts, cooperate with Democrats in terms of a whole range of legislative issues, and it could drift away from the president unless he performs strongly, I would think, on the 16th.
Graham?
The problem, I mean, the one problem is that the next few debates where Obama could make up ground are going to have far fewer viewers than this first debate. People just don't pay attention to the second debate. The other exciting part about the town hall format is it's got a much bigger potential for gaffes. You can't control the public when they're let into the room. And if either of the candidates comes across as condescending or patronizing or out of touch or unsympathetic, that could be the thing which sticks with people.
How free-flowing are they, though? Because a lot of these things, people selected by Gallup, questions are vetted in advance. Are they allowed to come back at the candidates? Is there any possibility of real debate, or is it just going to be stilted and controlled?
We just don't know. I mean, it'll be highly controlled. The environments are incredibly highly controlled. At the same time, they are live debates. And one of the things which helped Romney in this particular debate last night was he was better at wresting the mic from Jim Lehrer. And in a live debate, he was able to talk over Jim Lehrer or refuse to stop talking. And that's very hard to control in a live situation.
Yeah. All right, Gary, do you think Romney has done enough to make his bid for the presidency a really live one again compared to how we discussed it just a few days ago?
He's in a better position this morning than he was yesterday morning. I think that's for sure. And one thing it might have importance is that money, which might have drifted away from him if the polls had widened, might come back to him. So wealthy donors who might have put their money into Senate and House races could now come back to him. And that'll be important in terms of the attack ads that we will certainly see over the course of the next month. He's in a stronger position today simply because he performed much better. He'll take certain confidence out of it himself, and I think his people will take confidence out of it as well. But the question is whether those on the right will be so depressed by his centrism that they would stay at home. But I think it's the least worst option in one way.
Graham?
He's got a long way to go. If you winning a presidential debate doesn't win you the election. John Kerry won the first debate against George Bush, maybe not as decisively as Romney did last night. But if you look at the map, the electoral map from 2004, Obama's going to win every single state Kerry won. And he's already pretty much got Nevada and Ohio is looking good for him in the bag. That's all he needs to win the election.
All right. Demography is destiny. I heard that phrase the other morning, and it's one that has stuck with me. Thank you both, Professor Gary Murphy from DCU. Thank you very much, Professor of Politics there. And Graham Findlay, lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Thank you also.